Welcome to Take the Lead. The content you're about to hear is from one of our Boca Lead events. Boca Lead is a monthly business luncheon hosted at Boca Raton Community Church and taught by Pastor Bill Mitchell. Our desire is that the information you're about to hear will increase your leadership and also raise the bar of ethics and integrity within the business community. So take the handout, grab a pen, get ready to take some notes, and enjoy the video.
Today is about people, relationships, and how you relate to people. And a lot of you would say, boy, I'd love my business if I didn't have to work with people. It'd be a lot better. And so I think you have to work with people. So why don't we see if we can make it a better place to work for people? And so we're going to look at that. I've titled this Lean In to Relationships. So many people are afraid to get involved in relationships. And I'm not talking about social relationships here. We're talking about business relationships. And how can we make it better? And we have so many varied groups here. We have educational groups. We have nonprofit groups. We have scholarship groups. We have businesses. We have professions. We have banking and industry. All different groups. These things apply to everyone. If you touch and are involved with a person, this means this is for you. So let's look at it. Let's begin. There are three types of relationships, generalizing, and I'm making big generalizations here, and we're only going to talk about one, but I want to give you all three so you understand, and you can take notes if you want. The first one is this. It's the casual, informal relationship. Casual relationships are what you have here, a lot of you. You know, when I see you only here at Boca Lead, I'll say hi. Maybe we'll have coffee once. There's no commitment beyond the moment. Friends, acquaintances, occasional customers, occasional vendors, these are the informal ones. We're not going to talk about that today, but those do exist, and we know that, but that's not what we're talking about today. The second type of relationship that all of us have are lifelong relationships, lifelong ones. This is your family, your marriage, your faith. For me as a Christian, I have a lifelong belief in God. It's a long-term covenant thing. For some of you, it's family, it's marriage. If you have your own business, that might be a lifelong relationship. It's for your entire life, your lifelong friends. Some of you are here and you go, I'm still good friends with the people I met in my kindergarten class. Those are lifelong relationships. We're not talking about those today either, okay? Now, everything I say will apply to these, but I'm not going to apply them. I'll let you apply them in your own way. The third type of relationship is what we're going to talk about today, which is the contractual relationship, contract relationship, otherwise known as work. Now, there are other contracts that you have, and in this country, we run our lives by contracts. You have a mortgage on your home. That's a contract with a bank. You have a lease on your car. That's a contract with the car company. You have an insurance policy with your insurance. That's a contract with them. We all live and run our lives by contracts, but when you think about it, your work is a contract. What you do. Now, I know in this state, you may not have a contract. We're an at-work state. They can fire you today without cause. We know all that, but you still have a contract. And what do I mean by that? These are the business relationships, your vendors. You have contracts with your vendors, your clients, your customers. It's for a set period of time. Some of you may have a contract on your home, and you're working with a realtor. Right? Well, that might be a four-month contract, a six-month contract. Some of you are architects and builders. You have a contract to do services for a period of time, and it ends. And so these are not lifelong, nor are they casual, very serious. This is what I want to talk about today, and specifically in the workplace. So just think of wherever you work, and all the people that are around you at work, not just your associates, but again, your vendors, your clients, your customers, your competitors, the business next door, because you have to share parking and all of that, those hassles, all of that. Think about that. So as we do, let's get into this. What are the conditions of these relationships, You could also say, what is your office culture, if you want to do that? And I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to start very negative and work to very positive. Can we do that? Can we start with a negative? I'm a positive guy, so I'm going to end with a positive. The negative relationship first is toxic. Toxic relationships. Have you ever had a relationship at work that is toxic? Let me give you an... It's a person... Now, here's the thing. Don't look to the person next to you. Right now. Look down or look at me, but don't look next to you. They have no passion or purpose in why they're there. It's me first. Very low morale, no growth initiative either in themselves or in their business. They're there. Very competitive, and I don't mean the good side of competition. There's a very good side of business competition. We know that. We've talked about this. This is the bad side, the competitive edge, bad. No appreciation, what John just mentioned, gratitude, appreciate. None of that's there. It's just very toxic. And when conflict occurs, it is destructive. I want you to know, in all three of these relationships, conditions, there's conflict. Every business has conflict. This is destructive. This is the person who screams and yells. This is the person that gets out every four-letter word when they're upset at you. Or, I've seen this, this is the person that cries and gets emotional and tries to manipulate in conflict. They're very destructive. They fight unfair. You know, there's a fair way to fight. We'll talk about that in a minute. And there's a very unfair way to fight in a toxic setting. Now, the whole office can be toxic, or just a person can be toxic, or two people, but it's not good. They're very self-absorbed and selfish. This is incredibly destructive. Has anybody ever been in a setting like this? Raise your hand. You all have. Have you ever walked into a doctor's office? No, I'm not against physicians by any means, but they are the worst with office culture. They're the best doctors, the worst with the office. And you walk in, you go, if I had an hour here, I could fix this. I go, I just need an hour. I don't know anything about medicine, but I could fix this culture. It is so horrendous because the doctors, he or she, are just so interested in your body and how to fix it. They don't care about culture. They don't even know that they're getting on Yelp these bad reviews. And because it's not about the doctor, it's about their office. Let me share a story. A friend of mine just wrote a book, and he was sharing this with me, but I'll read it. It's about fleas and the first time he got a dog. Now, I don't own a dog, so I don't relate to this, but I can relate to the story. He goes, my dog had fleas. My plan was to comb through its hair and catch every flea I could find. I don't know whether you have tried this, but it's a very difficult exercise. As I was trying to find and catch the fleas, a friend of mine arrived and asked what I was doing. I explained to him my project, and he looked at me strangely and said, Alan, why don't you just buy a flea collar at the store? I sat stunned. What was this flea collar of which he spoke? What a brilliant idea. I rushed off, bought a flea collar, put it around the dog's neck, and within 3 days, the fleas were all gone. I was amazed, so I tried to figure out how the system worked. How did the fleas know there was a flea collar around the dog's neck? How did they know it was a flea collar? I hadn't explained it to them. Listen, fleas, there's a collar on the dog now, so you're going to have to leave. Yet somehow, all the fleas, including the last flea at the end of the tail, knew there was a flea collar, and they all got off. I asked my friend to explain how the fleas knew it was time to leave. My friend said it was actually pretty simple. There was a powder on the flea collar. When the dog moved, its hair brushed against the collar, released the powder. The powder got onto the dog's skin and then was absorbed into its bloodstream. The dog developed immunity to what was the poison for the fleas. Its blood carried the flea poison to every inch of its skin, so when the flea at the tail end bit the dog, the flea died. Here's the point of that story. Either you will be controlled by the fleas, or you will have in your circulatory system, or can I use an office term, in your culture, a way to get rid of the fleas. You have to deal with toxic people. You cannot let that toxicity exist in your business. We'll talk more about that later. Number two, habitual. This is kind of the middle of the road. That's habit with a big ending on it. Habitual, no purpose, no passion, but they may be a hard worker. Not sure why things are done, they're draining, status quo, and this person avoids conflict. They're the ones, the elephant is in the middle of the room, and they just don't want to deal with it. You know those kind of people? You know, we got a problem. Well, that's okay. Let's just deal with it over here. They're very habitual. They want to keep their job. They want to keep the status quo. And so the destructive person's over here. This person is over here. And they just kind of, this is where most people are. They just come to work. It's 8:30. You go to work. It's 5:36. You leave work. They do a good job. Every other Friday, you give them a paycheck, and it's done. Have you ever known anybody like this? Yes, you can. Don't raise your hand if you are this, but have you known anybody like this? Raise your hand. You know, they're just in it. They're doing their job. You know, they're doing it too good to fire them, but not good enough to give them a raise. And you go, at the end of the year, do I give this person a raise? But they're, you know, it's just, it's havoc. Third one, and this is the one I want to deal with. Generative. That's the word gener, which is like generator. It means to produce. It's the positive one, just a long term. This is people working in their passion, working with purpose, in their sweet spot. Last week, month, we talked about sweet spot. Remember, what is your soccer ball? If you weren't here, listen to the January talk. There's a mutual purpose, a mutual respect, a mutual trust, a growing environment, creative, and they deal well with conflict. There's those that have destructive conflict resolution, there's those who avoid it, and there are those who deal with it head on. Every culture, every office setting has a different set of rules on how to deal with conflict, depending on various things, depending on your industry. But there is a healthy way to deal with conflict, and there is a very unhealthy way. Now you're in your office. Tell me about the people in your office. So can I give you five type of people in your office? And then you can decide, are they toxic, habitual, or are they generating something for the positive good of your business? So let's look at five. I've just put words around them. The first one, just put the word responsible. These are the leaders. In some businesses, they're the founders. In other businesses, they're the directors. Other businesses, they're the CEOs. Depending on where you are, in a college, they would be the deans. These are people who create the vision, create the passion, create the direction, create the focus of your business. So who are they? They're the boss, the owner, the partner, the director, the stockholder, the dean. Whatever your industry would call them, these are the people, though, and the key word here is create. Now, here's a problem. If you have a toxic creator, you have a problem if you're working for that person. I just want you to know and that if your boss or the CEO or the president or the founder is living with toxicity, there's not a lot you can do if you're down the chain two levels. And you got to decide, can I live with this or do I need to move on? And you need to know me, those of you, those 100 of you who have never been here before, you're all adults in this room. Work where you can get your purpose and your passion. Don't just work for work's sake. You live in Boca Raton, for goodness sake. Go find a place to work that you love and that isn't toxic. So if you're the boss and you are this person, you need to be generative because it goes down line. You are the flea collar. You are the one who is putting into circulation the attitudes and the responsibilities for everybody else. Now there's a second group of people. Just, and these words aren't important. Get the concepts, not the words. Important people. Well, everybody's important. Everybody's responsible. But important, these are the people who carry the vision. These are the strong workers. These are your key people. This may be you, your key clients. Let me tell you, you want your clients to tell your story. You want your clients to carry your vision to other people. I've got two colleges here, maybe even three, but there's a college here, there's a college over there. You want your alum to tell your story, don't you? Because if only you tell your story, it's not enough. You want others to tell your story. You want my wife to tell the story of how she loved Florida Atlantic University. See, she is someone who can carry the vision. She didn't create the vision, she doesn't have the vision, but she can carry the vision. And so you need to make sure that the people that are carrying your vision of what you do are generative, are healthy, and are not toxic and go, you know what, I love that doctor, but I'd never go to that, or I love, but you know what, that's a terrible college, or that's a bad law office, or that's a bad bank to deal with. That they're carrying a vision, but it's not your vision. So you need to be healthy so that you can help others be healthy in understanding the vision. Number three, this is key, teachable people. These are the people that want to learn your vision and your passion. Direct reports, newer in the business, interns. These are the people that you have direct influence. Now, if you're the boss, everybody, you have influence. If you're someone else, everybody has influence on someone else. Everyone, you do 360. Last week, I was in Fort Lauderdale at a company, about 100 employees. I was sitting with the president. We were talking. We're old friends. We're chatting. He's younger, not old friends because he's only 38, but we've been friends for years. I mentored him a little a couple years ago on an issue he had, so we were just having coffee. We came out, and his executive vice president was waiting for the next appointment, who I also knew, but I hadn't seen in a while, and I didn't know that they knew each other before, long ago. And the executive vice president, who was my age, said, you know, this guy was my intern 15 years ago. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, the president of this company, I brought into this company, and he was my intern. And he didn't say it like, I wish I had his job and he should have mine. He said it with a sense of pride that I taught him and had those teachable moments that he could learn the vision, and he had certain skill sets that allowed him to become the president, and I became his executive vice president. You see, there are people that are going to pass us, and that is okay. And there are people that are underneath you, and if you're toxic, your direct reports most likely will become that way as well. Because if they're generative, they will leave and go somewhere else and find another thing. And so, now number four, nice people. Now I'm talking in the work setting. I like everybody to be nice. I'm nice, you're nice, but we're talking about in business. They're part of the organization, but they're not carrying the vision. You see, there's people who create the vision, there's people who carry their vision, there's people who want to learn the vision, then there's all these nice people that work for us, and they're likable, they're time wasters, but they're too nice to let them go. You ever had those kind of people? You go, yeah. Can I just say, I hired a nice person a couple years ago because they were nice, but they carried another vision. They had a vision of something else. And I go, I got to let him go. And everybody said, but he's so nice. It was like, you know how hard it is to let a nice person go? Because if somebody's not worried about the vision and worry about direction and worry about their work product, they want to keep them because you want some nice people around. But be careful. Because nice people are great to go have coffee with, go have lunch with, go talk about what you did over the weekend, but not necessarily great to work with. And I say that in quotes. Everybody, we want to all be nice, but they're not carrying the vision. They're just nice people, and you know, they got a little work ethic or whatever. They're likable, but they're wasters of time. And we're going to come back to all these. Fifth, the draining people, draining. You ever walked into an office of someone who's a drainer and the barometric pressure just changes and you realize you've gone from a giving scenario to a taking? They just suck it out of you. Have you ever had somebody, you just feel like they're plugging into you and sucking it out? These are the drainers. They don't care about what's happening in this. They don't care about the passion of the business. They don't care about anything. Critical spirit, detrimental to the office or the organization, but some way they have survived. Maybe they have a good work ethic. Maybe they have this. Maybe they make a lot of money for the company or whatever, but they are drainers and they don't care. And you need to deal with these people. So how do we deal with these five people? Can I give you two words? It's right there on the right side. Think of these five people: responsible people, important people, teachable, nice, draining. We put a line in between because the top three you invest time in, the bottom two you spend time in. In other words, you got to deal with the nice people in your organization, but when you spend time with them, you got to realize you have expended something you will never get back. When you deal with drainers, yeah, you got to deal with them, but you're going to get nothing in return for it. But someone who's anxious to learn the business and grow, you're investing. You might not be investing in your future. You're investing in their future, the future of your company or your organization. It's incredible. The people who are carrying the vision, you need to invest in them. I have a friend over here, Ingrid, who has so many return clients because she has invested. I've known her for 25 years, and I go, that's been a client for you for 20 years. Yeah, she's invested, and her clients use her over and say, use because she's invested in carrying the vision of her business. Responsible people, they're the bosses. Of course, you got to find out. You want to help create the vision. You want to be a part of the leadership team. You want to grow. Maybe you are the leadership team. Wherever you are, this is an investment. This is a spending. So here's the point. You only have this much time in your life. And many of us use this much to spend and this much to invest. And I would suggest you spend 80% of your time investing in people and 20% spending. You do have to spend time. You do. There's nothing wrong with spending time. But realize if you're just spending time and not investing, it's just going out like water, just running out the door. Invest in people. Invest in your employees. Invest in your customers. Can I also say invest in your competitors? I find when I was in business, I got more business from my competitors than I did from my own company because my competitors trusted me. If you can have a trust win-win with your competition, it'll make your life a lot easier. Invest in them. Invest in your time, your energy, your monies in this. Now, how do you do it? Let's close with the how do you do it. How do you invest time in relationships? Number one, look in the mirror and decide, am I toxic? Am I habitual? Or am I generative? Before I go pointing a finger at you, let me point the finger at me a little and do some self-reflection. It's huge. And you may only be one. Maybe it's just you deal with conflict poorly. Maybe you're a great person. Well, have you ever had the person, let's be honest, you're not sure who's walking in the door every day. One day they're great and the next day they're not. Have you ever had that kind of person that you've worked with? You know, are you that kind of person that it's so confusing to your coworkers because they don't know who showed up today? Was it the toxic person or the generative person? You know, we do move between these. And I would say do some self-reflection. If you need to really self-reflect, also have a confidant. Go take them to coffee and go, can you be my mirror and tell me a little about myself? And if they're trusting and honest, they will. Number two. This is key. Invest in others. Don't just invest in yourself. Invest in others. This is hugely important because it all comes back. You know, people talk about coincidences. There are no coincidences in this world. I believe there's people we meet. I just met somebody I haven't seen since high school today. She's here today. I haven't seen her since high school. You know how long I graduated high school? I won't even tell you because you'll know her age, and I'm not going to tell you her age. So, and it was a very positive hello. Why? Because it was a generative experience in high school. It's amazing. I mean, this goes to kids too. Invest in others. It's very positive. Those of you that have anybody working for you, invest in them. just pay it forward. Can I just say pay it forward? Because you go, well, they're going to leave. Yeah, but someone's going to replace them, and you hope that someone has invested in the person that got replaced into your office or your setting, right? That's important. Number three, and this is huge, invest in something bigger than yourself. So as you're doing this, the other day, I was at an awards banquet, the Opal Awards that the Boca Raton Rotary Club puts on, wonderful award ceremony, and a bunch of them are here today. One of the winners was Bernie Marcus, the founder of Home Depot, who's now a resident of Boca and has become philanthropic here in Boca. And in his acceptance speech of this, he said all the city he's lived in, all the places he's been a part of with Home Depot, and you know that's hundreds of cities around the world and in the United States, and he said these words. He said he's never seen a more generous community than Boca Raton. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I'm empirically, but from his vantage point, a very generous person saying that this community is generous was a very positive statement. So this is what I'm saying to you is, find people that are doing things bigger than yourself and join in with them in the nonprofit world, in your extra hours, at your work, whatever it is. Do you know there's people in this room? I'm going to point a few people out. There's Food for the Poor over here. It's a nonprofit. You know what their goal is? Can I just say what their goal is? To eradicate poverty in the Caribbean. Now, is that bigger than any of us? They're in 17 countries. They're the largest NGO, non-governmental organization in all 17 countries, and they want to eradicate poverty in the Caribbean. That's a little bigger than me. You know what? I volunteer for them. We got the Snow Foundation back there. What is their desire? That every kid that wants an education, college education, all you Rotary Clubs are doing this too, either in the medical area or other areas, let's get them an education. Well, that's bigger than any of us. Maybe I can pay for one, or maybe you could pay for two, but all of us can help these young adults get an education. That's bigger than us, isn't it? I can go here. We got all these things. I could stop at every one of you and go, let's make it bigger. And if you're not doing something bigger than yourself, I think you're missing it. Do something bigger than yourself. And I think it'll make this a better place. It'll make you a better person and your family a better group of people in your office. So, how do you begin? Lastly, number four, if you don't know what to do, find people doing number two and number three and join with them. That's all it is. Find somebody investing in someone else and go, you know what? I'm going to help you because I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do something bigger than myself. I've only thought of myself my entire life. That's what I was taught to do. And excuse me, there are people in this town that only think of themselves, and maybe you're one of them. Find one of these people and go, you know what? I'm going to help you in your vision until I got a vision. I have a vision to help other people. Just go be with people that are doing it. And there are a lot of people in this room that are doing it and all over town, and it will be a better place if you do. Now, let me close with a thought. I shared this years ago if you started with Boca Lead. I used to be in real estate. I sold commercial buildings and land. But occasionally I'd sell houses, especially of friends and, you know, family friends. And so there was an elderly lady whose husband had died. She lived right behind here, about three blocks in those little bungalows that are now being torn down and their big houses being built. But she called me in and said, would you sell my house? I want to go back to the grandkids up north. And so I came over and I sat with her. She was in her mid or late 80s, and I told her what the house was worth. She said in a couple months she'll sell. So I sat there and I saw a crack in her living room, a really hairline crack. And so I said, Mrs. Wilson, tell me about the crack in your living room from ceiling to floor. She looked, she goes, I don't even see it. It was just a hairline crack. She can't see that. So I said, okay, no worries. She's lived there for 40 years. And it was a beautiful house. Her gardening was incredible, beautiful. I won't tell you where it is because one of you might own it. And so 3 months later, I came back. And she said, I'm ready to sell. So I'm sitting in the same chair, same living room. We're writing up the contract, right, contractual. And I look, and that crack was now a half inch wide. 3 months, 50-year-old home, half-inch wide, from a hairline to half-inch wide. I said, Mrs. Wilson, tell me about the crack. She said, what crack? So I brought in a building inspector. He said, this house is built to last forever. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's moved. I don't get it. Find a roofer, because it was made with rafters, not trusses, the old way, hand done. Something's wrong with the roof. Got a roofer in there. Nothing wrong. The house is solid as can be. He said, after I've been spending all her money with inspectors, he said, get a soil inspector in. So in the old day, this was probably 20 years ago, they would take a T-bar that had like a screw in, it was like an auger, and you would screw it down, and you could kind of see the soil underneath, you know, kind of pull it back up. And so we went over to the side of the house behind where the living room was, and grass all the way to the wall. So he gets right up to the edge of the wall, and he starts to, you know, through the sod that was this thick, and it dropped. Now, this was a five-foot auger, hand auger. It drops. And I just kind of jump back. He jumps back, and we kind of go back, and he pulls the soil up, and there is a five-foot-deep, 20-foot-by-40-foot cavity under the house. Cavity under the house. That's a lot of metric concrete needed. And I said, what happened? And there's a canal, that little El Rio back there. He said, somehow this thing's been drifting for 50 years. And he said these words, because we got an inspector back in. 3 months from now, this house would cave in. 50 years, no problem. 3 months, it would cave in. I said, what do you do? He goes, it's easy. He said, this is easy. He goes, you back up a concrete truck, a cement truck, you put in a hose, you get a pump, and you pump in yards and yards of concrete, and we're going to fill it underneath. And she's going to have a five-foot-deep foundation by 20 feet by 40 feet. And that's what they did. That house is going to be here when all of us are gone. But you know what? If you looked at that house, so if you do own that house, you got a great house. If you looked at that house, it was gorgeous. It was one of those just beautiful bungalows. The flowers, she spent all the time with the impatiens and all the things, the mango trees, the avocado trees, the oleanders everywhere. It looked great. But it was about to cave in because there was a toxic problem with that house. It is not always visible to the outsider what the problem is in relationships. Only you can figure that out. Do a little self-analysis, a self-understanding to make you a better place to work, make you a better person, and make where you work a better place to work. And I think that would help us make a better community. What do you think? Thank you very much.
We trust you enjoy Pastor Bill's teaching. Our goal is that you take this content and apply it in your business and also your personal life. Visit BocaLead.com for all of our past material and register for our next business lunch. Have a great time in discussion and take the lead.